Well, you've perhaps heard me tell the story about the Sunday school class where the teacher always taught her little 10-year-olds, no matter what the question is, the answer is Jesus. So this one particular morning, she decided she's going to play a game with them. And she said, now, we're going to have a guessing game. She said, I'm going to give you some descriptions and you tell me the answer. And so that morning, she said, what is it that has a little reddish-gray tail, lives in trees, and eats nuts? It's always little Johnny, isn't it? He raised his hands and he said, it sounds just like a squirrel, but you've taught me the answer is always Jesus. Sounds like a squirrel, but he said the answer is Jesus. And no matter what our problems is, guess what? The answer is Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's salvation, it don't matter if it's temptation. The answer is Jesus. It don't matter if it's provision or protection. The answer is Jesus. So just briefly tonight, maybe we can spend a little time in prayer. Get back to doing that. We got a lot of sick and we got a lot of afflicted right now. So real quickly, I just want to share with you a sermon that I've entitled, The Answer is Jesus. If it's faith, or if it's salvation, the answer is faith in Jesus. If salvation's what you're needing, faith in Jesus is the answer. Now consider with me Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. There is a woman and she had a flow of blood, an issue of blood, and she had this for 12 years. And it says in the scriptures that she suffered many things from many physicians. Our Bibles tell us that she spent all that she had, but she didn't get any better. She only grew worse. Now let me just tell you, she had an issue, and it was the issue of blood. And she had tried many things, but it had only grown worse. Well, let me tell you what our issue is. We are born in sin. We come straight forth from our mother speaking lies. And then the world tells us all kinds of answers for that sin nature. Tells us all kinds of things how we can stay out of hell and get into heaven. I mean, we'll try baptism. We'll try turning over a new leaf. We try joining the church. We try this and we try that. But if it's salvation you're looking for, it's faith in Jesus. But when we try something else other than Jesus for our salvation, it's kind of like sweeping a dirt floor. The more we sweep it and the more we try to clean it, the worse it gets. That's exactly what was happening to this lady that had the issue of blood. She had tried many physicians, had suffered many things, and she had only grown worse. And when she had exhausted everything and got worse, Jesus is passing through. And this lady, the Bible tells us, says, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. And so she gets through the crowd and she touches the hem of his garment. And the Bible said she was made well instantly. He turned around and said, who touched the hem of my garment? Now we have an all-knowing Jesus. Do you think he know who touched his garment? I'm telling you, he knew the number on the head of who touched his garment. So if he knew who it was, what was he looking for? He was looking for a confession of faith. And he told her when she said, it was I, she said, go your way, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. You may not have the issue of blood here tonight, but you got the issue of sin. And you may have tried many things to fix it, but that's not the answer. It will only get worse. Let me just tell you tonight, if salvation's what you need, the answer is faith in, not yourself, not of works, not the church or baptismal waters. The answer is faith in Jesus. He's the answer for salvation. But listen, if you're here tonight and you've got salvation, you've done put your faith in Jesus, maybe you come tonight with a struggle. Well, let me tell you what the answer is. Jesus. If you've got a struggle, the answer is focus on Jesus. The psalmist in chapter 121, verses 1 and 2 said, I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence my help comes from. Who's my help come from? The Lord. What did he do? He made heaven and earth. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to look unto the author and finisher of our faith. If you've got a struggle here tonight, let me tell you what the answer is. It's Jesus. And you need to focus on the Lord Jesus. You need to look unto Jesus if you've got a struggle. See, in Matthew chapter 14, remember those disciples was out there in the water. Remember the storm got pretty good size. And remember they looked out there and they saw somebody coming and they thought it was a ghost. But one of them, when he got a little closer, realized that's not no ghost, that's Jesus. And Peter said what to Jesus? Man, forbid me to come to you on the water. And what did Jesus say to him? Come on. And I mean, he bailed out of the boat and he really wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the Word of God because Jesus said, come on. That's what we walk on. We walk on the Word of God. And so, man, he's walking on the water. He's walking on the Word. Because Jesus said, come, he could come. And he was looking at Jesus. But my Bible said, then he saw the waves. All of a sudden, his focus left the one who said, come to me. And when his focus saw the storm, my Bible says he began to sink. But when he realized he began to sink, he cried to Jesus and said, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached and got him and put him back in the boat. So listen to me tonight. Many times when we struggle, we take our eyes off Jesus and we put it on the storm in our life. And that's when we begin to sink. That's when we begin to be anxious. That's when we begin to make the struggle worse instead of better, is when we take our eyes off of Jesus. You know, right before I would go down and have a hip replacement, I was asked to come to over at Okmulgee to a From the Arena to the Cross Cowboy Camp. Now, they do these all over the United States, and it was my first one. Anyone I've ever been to, it's just been a calf roping or breakaway camp. Man, when I got over there and they give me my instructions, they had horsemanship. They had bareback riding. They had saddle bronc riding. They had bull riding. They had breakaway. They had tie down. They had steer wrestling. And when I'm watching them break up, I'm watching three girls in the steer wrestling group. Now, how many of you think I stayed focused? I didn't want to teach the breakaway and calf roping. I wanted to go watch the bull riding and the bronc riding. I really wanted to watch them girls bulldog. So that's exactly what I done. I didn't do nothing. I said, Marty, you got the calf roping and the breakaway? He said, I got it. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to go watch these girls bulldog. So I would go watch. And it wasn't long that I saw the girls on the bulldog and sled, and I got to watch all that done, and I figured out the girls sometimes bulldog better than the boys. So I ventured on down to the rough stock riding. Now, I've heard this said many times, but them instructors told them bull riders before they would get on, they all gathered up and they said, now listen, whatever you do, don't look at the ground. And whatever you do, don't look at the fence. You just look at that hump that's right there in front of that bull rope. One of them said, why is that? He said, you look at the fence, you'll end up on the fence or in the fence. You look at the ground, you'll end up on the ground. Where you look is where you're going to end up. Well, I watched it long enough and watched some of them look to the fence and whap, they got slapped into the fence. Bull gets close to the fence, it's real easy to leave the hump thinking, am I going to hang a leg in that fence? They looked at the fence, they went to the fence. I mean, I'm watching this because when I turn 70, I'm going to start riding bulls. So, huh? Donna, it's not the head of the household, Susie. Right now, I rope calves. There's a lot to do in 8 seconds. Bull riding, hand and rope. Hang on, 8 seconds. Calf roper has to do so much before 8 seconds. Bull riders, don't look at the fence. Don't look at the ground. Look at the hump. How hard could this be? So when I get 70, I'm going to try bull riding. So I just thought it'd be pretty smart to ease down at the camp, listen to the bull riding advice, because when I turn 70, I'm going to be a PBR champion. See, some of you have been watching it this weekend. Just wait 19 years and I'll be there. If you believe that, me and George has got some oceanfront property in Arizona. So I listened to that and I watched them where they hit. So I make my way back down to the calf roping where I'm really supposed to be. And we're starting to flank and tie. And Murray said, won't you come here and help us do our event? And so I ease over there. And wouldn't you know it, the first question that one of the old timers asked me, he said, Rob, where do you tell them to look when they tie? I don't know if I have any calf ropers in the building, but we got ball players and you can ask a ball player, where do you look when you shoot? 90% of them can't tell you. Just the rim. Well, yeah, I know you look at the rim, front, back. What do you look at? 90% of them can't tell you what they look at. 90% of the calf ropers can't tell you what they look at. What do you look at when you tie? I say you look at the farthest point out there on them calves' feet so you can get your string around it. And we hang hooey sometimes because we're not looking at the farthest point, and therefore we mess it up. So at that camp, what was important, no matter what event you'd done, what was important? Focus. Where you looked determined a lot of whether you was going to be victorious and conquer one of those events. Did you get that? That, my dear friends, listen, is just as important in the arena of life. Often where you look's where you'll end up. You keep looking to the world, you'll end up in the world. You keep looking at your storm, you'll end up in the middle of it. But when you struggle, if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, I believe you can stay on that straight and narrow road that he told us we could stay on. But when we get our eyes off, we veer. If you got a struggle tonight, could I tell you, lift your eyes unto the hills. That's where your help comes from, the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Look unto Jesus. Why? He's the author and he's the finisher of your faith. It's very important where we look. If you got a struggle, focus on Jesus. You need salvation, put your faith in Jesus. But then thirdly, you need to serve, it's fervor for Jesus. See, I watched this 18 years of preaching, and you want people to be enthusiastic about preaching, about serving, don't we? The Bible clearly states, if you put your hands to the plow and look back, what? What's it say? Come on. You're not fit for the kingdom. And there's a lot of people that look back. There's a lot of people that are up, down, in and out, when it comes to serving their Lord. And if that's you tonight, I would be very concerned, because that scripture says, he who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. If you want to serve Jesus and you don't want to be up and down and in and out, the answer is you got to have a fervor for Jesus. Remember what Paul told Titus? He says, the grace of God that brings salvation, it's appeared to all men. The same grace that brings that salvation, he tells Titus, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and it teaches us to live godly and soberly and righteous in this present day. And then he tells us as Christians, we're to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, what? Zealous, enthusiastic, fervor for good works. Then why is so many in the church up and down and in and out? Their fervor's not where it's supposed to be. From the arena to the cross cowboy camp. I remember when that come and they asked me to do it. It meant 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to get up and get everything done and be there and get home way after dark. I wish I could stand here, Bryce, and tell you I'd done that for fervor because of I love to rope, or a fervor because I love kids. But I'm going to tell you, I can't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go till way after dark for kids. And used to, I could get up early and go late for my fervor for roping, but I can't no more. So what gets a guy up at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning? And what keeps a guy out at a camp like that till way after dark? If it's not the fervor for kids, it's not the fervor for the roping, what's it for? It's my fervor for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, it's pretty easy to have a fervor for the Lord because He had a fervor for me. It's pretty easy to serve and love on Him because He loved me first and He died for me. And so if you're trying to get your fervor from anything besides the Lord Jesus Christ, let me just tell you something. You're probably going to take your hands off the plow. You're probably going to look back. And that ought to be very alarming to you because the Scripture says when you do, you're not fit for the kingdom. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. And so if it's service that you need to keep your hands to the plow, the answer is fervor for the Lord Jesus Christ. You try to do it in your own power, your fervor will leave you. Your fervor will lose you. So your fervor and your enthusiasm has to be in that of Jesus. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul who wrote that to Titus. I want you to think about his fervor. His confidence was in the grace of God. Now, he was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. But one day he figured out that his works wasn't going to get him to heaven. One day he wrote and he said, "It's not by works of righteousness which I've done." He thought he was righteous. He thought he was right in doing all that he'd done. And he lost all confidence in that. And he wrote, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." See, he had a fervor for works, and that wasn't working, and now his confidence is no longer in his works, but it's in the grace of God. You can just see this fervor in the Apostle Paul. His concern was the glory of God. He said, "God forbid I glory in anything except the Lord Jesus Christ." No matter what the Apostle Paul done, his confidence was in the grace of God, and his concern was the glory of God. And then, listen to this, his conversation was the gospel of God. Talk about a fervor. He said, "With everything that's in me, I'm ready to come to Rome." Why? I'm ready to preach the gospel over there. If I get a chance to talk to anybody, I'm so fervor about my confidence in the grace of God. I'm so fervent about my concern being the glory of God. And I'm so fervor in my service to God. My conversation's all about the gospel of God. And his commitment was all about the guidance of God. He wanted to be where God wanted him to be. And we go through life with not much fervor. We don't serve. We're in and out. We're up and down. What would happen if our commitment would be to the guidance of God and we always want to be right where God wanted us to be in our life? And I see this. His conviction was the glare of God. You know what he realized? Let me tell you what might help you out with your fervor and your service to God. Is to realize that he sits high and he sees every move you make. Are you with me? Paul was very much a servant of God and he was fervent. And let me just tell you, his conquest was the greatness of God. He knew that he served a great God. Therefore, his service was all stemming from the answer being Jesus, his fervor for Jesus. You with me tonight? Jesus is the answer. If it's salvation, it's faith in Jesus. Jesus is the answer. If you've got a struggle, it's focus on Jesus. Jesus is the answer. If you need to put your hands to the plow, quit being in, out, up and down. Your fervor is to be for Jesus, not for what you're doing. You do it because of your fervor for Jesus. And then my last thing, if you need to be steadfast, it's finish in Jesus. Now, I want you to think about two people in the Bible. One, the Apostle Paul. The other, King David. The Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi, "I've not attained. I'm not perfected. I'm not there yet." Remember? He said, "I press on." And so he was all about being better tomorrow than I am today. He was all about, until my number's called, I'm not there yet. Knowing he could always be better until God took him. Now I want you to consider King David. Did King David maybe think he had arrived? I can't answer that, but I can tell you this. In the start of his life, he had all kinds of fervor, all kinds of zeal. Jesus just all over him. But somewhere along the way, the kings went to battle, and maybe he thought, well, I've got this thing down enough. I don't have to go fight. And we know the story. Wasn't where he's supposed to be, wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing, and sin come in and got a hold of his life. So what happened in them was two men. One of them, at the end of his life, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. That was the Apostle Paul. I've not arrived, but listen, my departure's at hand. And I don't have to be ashamed to die. It's all been good to the glory of God, because I've fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. But the other one, when he dies, maybe because he thought he had apprehended, already perfected, thought he good enough that he didn't have to keep on reading his Bible, pray. I don't know. But I know this. David didn't finish near as good as the Apostle Paul finished. And that's what happens sometimes when we don't finish. We get off to a good start and we just get close to the end of the job. And we just say, I've arrived. Don't they say most car wrecks happen with a couple miles of your house? That's why I moved twice. Boy, that was illustrated this past summer when Miss Ashley Don, you may remember me referring to it in a sermon, we'd got over to Rose, and to get to Rose from my house, you meet some curves where you have to drive some curves on a very narrow road. You have to pull some very big hills, and a lot of times when you're going up a curvy hill, you can see the back of your trailer when you're making a curve. So we go over there that morning, and Ashley has to be back for work. And I thought I knew how many cows was over there, and I thought we could just have her help us gather on horses. But I got over there, and I had more cows over there than I thought, and we was moving them. And so when I began to count up, I thought, we don't have enough room to let Ashley go home early, but she's got to go to work. And the way the trailers was hooked up, she can't drive a 5-speed, a standard transmission. She could, but I ain't turned her loose in that, because I don't want to replace a clutch. So I tell her, I said, now, you're going to have to take that 28-foot trailer and that 4-door truck and take this load of cows home. I ain't never pulled that trailer, and Dad, it's through them curves and up them hills. I said, maybe you didn't hear me. Ashley, you're going to have to take that pickup and that 28-foot trailer, and we're going to have to pack it full of cows. So it's going to be overloaded. And you need to take it to the house, and you can just pull up there, let them out in the pen, and then you can go on to work, and we'll come. So I could see Ashley when she was headed to this truck. What was I doing? I was teaching her prayer life was important. And it's twofold, because when I watched her getting that vehicle with that 28-foot trailer with a heavy load of cows, my prayer life enhanced. And I thought, golly, I hope she makes it. And if you remember me telling that story, we continued to work cows, and pretty soon Roger Cole, who's now since then been saved, he's a worker for the county, and he calls me. And he says, hey, Rob, I just seen Ashley turn on 650 Road with a load of cows. Now, 650 Road's the chip and seal road, comes off 82C. And he said, I just want you to know we're chipping and sealing that road today, and if there's more loads of cattle coming, you'll need to go around an extra mile. But the news that he told me Ashley just went by him on 650 Road, I went, whew. That told me she'd got within 1 mile of the house. She'd got through the curves. She'd got up the hills. And I was aggravated that I had to go another mile around because there's chip and seal in the road. But that phone call let me know she had made it. No, she hadn't made it. She had made it within a mile. So the next call I get's from my little wife. And she said, Ashley has taken out our cattle guard. The pipe and the sucker rods are all bent. And so I get home and I says to Ashley that later that night, I said, Ashley, Roger called me and told me you turned on 650 Road, and I let out a big deep breath and thought you made it. She said, I did too. When I turned on that road, I thought, whew, I made it. What'd she do? She quit just a little bit before the end. Had she stayed steadfast about focusing on what she was doing, I'm convinced she'd have got across the cattle guard the same way she got around the curves and up the hills. But what did she do when she turned on 650 Road? She went, whew, I've made it. And the problem was, she deceived herself. She hadn't made it. Folks, that's what a lot of Christians do. They get like David. Whew, I've made it. Let me tell you something. Till you cross the cattle guard, well, no, not the cattle guard, till you cross the gate of pearl, don't think you've made it yet, because you can fall that quick and crash that quick. The answer is Jesus. You want to be steadfast? Finish in Jesus. Boy, it sounded an awful lot like a squirrel, didn't it? But the answer is Jesus. If you come tonight and it's salvation you need, faith in Jesus, that's the answer. If you come tonight and you got a struggle, you're in a storm, it's focus on Jesus. If you come tonight and it's service you're struggling with, it's fervor for Jesus. And if you come tonight and you need steadfastness, it's finish in Jesus. Stand fast till either you depart or you hear the trumpet. But the answer until then is always Jesus. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If it's salvation that you need tonight, the answer is faith in Jesus. It's a Sunday night crowd, but I'm convinced that there's many that come to Sunday night church that still need salvation. And so if that's you, maybe you need to do tonight what Colt 45 done this morning. Step out of your seat and come for salvation and put your faith in Jesus. But here tonight, for the most part, most have put their faith in Jesus because they realized Jesus was the answer when it come to salvation. But Christians often forget that Jesus is the answer when it comes to the struggles in life. Peter gave us a great example of what happens when we put our eyes on the storm instead of keeping our eyes on the Savior. The Scriptures tell us to look unto Jesus, to lift our eyes into the hills. But so often our struggles and our storms seem so big, our eyes go there. And where our eyes go, just like in bull riding, just like in calf roping, where our eyes go is how we go. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on You, because winning in the arena of life is so much more important than winning in a roping arena or riding arena. Father, there's so many that serve for a little while. They're up and down, they're in and out. And Father, just maybe tonight You spoke to somebody that's that way, up and down, in and out, serve a while, then not a while, serve a while, then not a while. They've realized that what's going to keep their hands to the plow and their nose to the grind in serving You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is not a fervor for their Sunday school class, not a fervor for kids, and not a fervor for this or fervor for that. What's going to keep them serving you is just simply a fervor for you. And then, Father, help us all to be steadfast. If we want to come to our departure time and be able to say to the, as the Apostle Paul said, I've fought the fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Then we don't need to take a deep breath thinking we've made it. We need to continue steadfast and finish in Jesus. Father, however you're speaking to us, your people tonight, may we respond in a way that pleases you tonight. May we come to these altars tonight and lift up our country. May these altars tonight become mourning benches as we heard from you this morning. May these altars become mourning benches for sin that's in our own lives, sin that's in our community and in our country. May these altars become mourning benches tonight where we would shed tears for souls. Father, have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me.
Left a crimson stain.